Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hoosier Football Tailgate is sponsored by Bet Online. Bet Online is where the game starts.
Every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Let's
hello and welcome to Hoosier Football Tailgate here on the Believe Network. It's Thursday, November the 9th, and the Hoosiers are getting ready to take on the Fighting Illini this Saturday with a noon kickoff in Champaign and televised on the Big Ten Network. Just two reminders here. Number one, if you could give us a subscribe on YouTube, as well as hit the notification bell, that would greatly appreciate it, as well as Apple and Spotify. Give us a like, a rating, and a comment or two. That would be greatly appreciated as well. And thanks to Bet Online for their sponsorship of the Hoosier Football Tailgate. Remember, Bet Online is the, with all the NFL, college football, college basketball, NBA, NHL, all these seasons going on right now, they're your number one source for all things sports wagering, odds, parlays, news, stats, information at your fingertips that you can get right there on Bet Online. And so remember, Bet Online is where the game starts. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about the Fighting Illini and the coach by Brett Bielema, who has done a pretty good job there at 4-5 overall right now, coming off a huge win at Minnesota in the waning seconds. I'm going to talk a little bit about how they did it in an unorthodox fashion, I guess you could say. Minnesota just had trouble getting off the field on key critical situations Saturday in Minneapolis. But, you know, the biggest thing that is impacting college football, but more importantly, the Big Ten, is this Michigan situation up in Ann Arbor. Michigan handed the Big Ten a 10-page report that they basically told the Big Ten to go bite a big one in some respects, and even threatened legal action if there was anything the Big Ten did to Jim Harbaugh or anything else involved with the football program there at Michigan. And Jim Harbaugh's own individual attorney has threatened legal action. But a couple of things I wanted to point out on all this, and this tweet that I saw by Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports. They talked about their margin of victory this season has gone, you know, from 34 to 38 points since this Connor Stallions individual was suspended, and basically stating there's no evidence that Stallions' actions had any marginal effect on any Michigan games this season. And I get a little ticked off when reporters conflate a few things in this regard about what may have or have not impacted the game of college football. So I want to break down a few things as it pertains to Dan Wetzel. He also made a comment that if the Big Ten hands down punishment to Michigan, they must also punish other programs that are allegedly also in the business of stealing signals. And again, conflating two different things. And I'll point out what I mean here in this segment here. Number one, what Michigan has been alleged to do with pretty good evidence by this staffer, Connor Stallions, who was a paid employee at the University of Michigan, a part of the football program under Jim Harbaugh. So whether Jim Harbaugh hired him or not, he is ultimately responsible for every member of his staff when it comes to the NCAA rules and the Big Ten sportsmanship rule book as well. But Connor Stallions has done things in terms of going off campus and scouting other teams or paying individuals to scout other teams with electronic devices that are aimed at the opposing sideline to steal their signals on offense and defense, then utilizing them to sync up with video and then have essentially him on the sideline on game day in the ear of the coaches telling them what is coming, supposedly. Now, one thing with this, and from the standpoint of what they did, what Connor Stallions is alleged to have done under Jim Harbaugh, whether directed or not, is a violation of NCAA rules because there's no off-campus scouting permitted in any of college football from Division I to Division III. Doesn't matter. You're not allowed to do it. It was done back in the early late 90s as a cost containment measure, but the rule has been in place for some time, and you can't play dumb to the extent saying, well, I never knew that was actually a rule. If you're in doubt, ask your NCAA rules liaison to look it up. But that's number one. Number two, what this Dan Wetzel was saying that other teams doing, Rutgers and Ohio State were giving information to Purdue. Now, they have denied that, but let's say they did. That is not an NCAA violation, for one. That's number one. Number two, that is done at times by multiple schools throughout the year by they talking to their buddies about this or that. That's perfectly fine. What's not kosher is you having somebody, an operative at an opposing stadium, filming a game for the sole purpose of stealing signals. And that in itself right there, like I said, is an NCAA violation. Now, the NCAA has their own thing to do, and they're in the midst of that investigation. When they are done and they hand over a report to Michigan, they have 90 days to respond to it. Therefore, that is not going to be settled prior to the end of the football season and the college football playoffs. Set that aside. What's in front of this is what the Big Ten's going to do under their sportsmanship policy. And Pettit, the Big Ten commissioner, has every authority to make a decision on what he intends to do with this situation with Michigan. In my opinion, he needs to come down hard on Michigan for this. Now, some people say the kids should not be involved in this. Now, here's where I disagree with them. If I was in the Big Ten East and I was doing things the right way, and I had a member team in my side of the conference doing things like this, there's no way I would allow them to compete for a Big Ten championship. That in itself would not be kosher with me if I was a coach in the Big Ten East. Now, whether or not that happens, that's my opinion, and I probably am not alone in that opinion. And just suspending the head coach for these infractions, okay. But the fact of the matter is, the bottom line is, you can't let them compete for a Big Ten championship when you know they had cheated and have been doing so since last year. So that's number one. And yes, Jim Harbaugh is ultimately responsible for every individual in his football program, whether he knows what is occurring or not occurring. There was reimbursements made for Connor Stallions' receipts that he either paid for hotel, gas, and things of that magnitude. to. And if somebody on their staff knew what Stallions was doing and didn't mention that to the head coach or to the coordinator or to somebody within the football program, they're as guilty. So the fact of the matter is, in this situation, it's irrelevant what another school may or have, may have not done with this scenario when it comes to whether or not the Big Ten makes this judgment as it pertains to Harbaugh or the Michigan Wolverines. Now, that being said, that's my opinion. I am not in this dog in this fight, but as a former college coach, if I was competing against Michigan and I had known that they had done what they had did, I would be pissed. I would be pissed to the extent that this is not sportsmanlike. It's unbecoming of an institution like the University of Michigan, because had they done this, this goes below the standard that they set for themselves. And therefore, the Big Ten should do what they believe is the right thing to do. And if that means banning them from the Big Ten championship, so be it. Now, as far as the college football playoffs goes, that's a different matter, and that needs to be handled by the College Football Playoff Committee. Ward Manuel, who is the AD at Michigan, is also on the College Football Committee. Now, if the Big Ten levies a punishment for Michigan doing this, Ward Emanuel should recuse himself permanently from the College Football Playoff Committee, because then all of a sudden that taints that process. But if Michigan gets in the College Football Playoff, that's a different matter for a different thing. This should just be dealing with the Big Ten. I've said my piece, and so be it. That's the way it's going to be. And we're going to go ahead and look at here the statistical analysis of this game of Illinois. The defense has been pretty darn good for them. In occasion, they have a pressure defense. We'll talk a little bit in a minute about this. But right now, Illinois comes into this game 4-5, 2-4 overall in the West. And they may not be out of the opportunity of playing for a Big Ten championship because of who they got left on their schedule. And one of those teams is Iowa. When they beat Minnesota this week, it kind of threw things into a tizzy as it pertains to the West. But they're 4-5 overall. Indiana comes in 3-6. This is a big game for both programs as it pertains that Indiana needs to continue to win for bowl aspirations, as does Illinois. So there's a lot on the line. Now, when you look at statistical aspects of this ball game, pretty even on both sides of the coin. You got the Indiana offense only scoring 19 points. Their defense has given up almost 28 a game, 310 yards a game per average, 381. So you can see there now. The turnover, the margin, the Hoosiers are leading in that category because Illinois has been -6 on the year. They've had four interceptions there is wrong. They've actually had 10 interceptions on the year, but you can see pretty well even across the board in that regard with things. When you look at from the defensive perspective of Indiana to the Illinois perspective, again, pretty darn close. Indiana giving up 361, Illinois averaging 366, and you can see third and fourth downs here are all pretty both are pretty even across the board when it comes to statistical analysis, black and white. Then when you look at some of the players involved in this ball game, this Caden Fegan, the running back, he is averaging about 52 yards a game. Luke Altemeyer, he's the transfer from Ole Miss. He's thrown for, averaging 65%. He averaging 209s a game. And then he's also very important in the run game, having average about 31 yards a game. So in that respect, depending on what happens, he got hurt on the last drive on third down. And in came the transfer from Ball State, John Paddock, who led them on a drive to win the game. But so I don't know his status for Saturday. Probably won't know until early Saturday on whether or not he will play. Isaiah Williams, number one, is their guy they target all the time. I mean, he is a predominant target for them, averaging 77 yards a game. And then Bryant, another one, is the other target that they'll go after. But they want the ball in number one's hands. And then on defense, Rozak and Scott, a linebacker and DB, are pretty close in tackles for total tackles per game right now, 54. Rozak has a tackle for losses. And then Coleman, Randolph, and Newton, all a part of the defensive line. These three guys are pretty darn good ball players, with Coleman having four sacks, Newton have 4.5, and then Randolph averaging 4.5, four tackles for losses on the year. Now we're going to go look at some video of the Fighting Illini, if I can pull up the correct area. Okay, here we go. And hopefully this all works like it's supposed to. But here we go with Illinois and Minnesota from this week. Offensively speaking, here's the one of the throws from Altmaier for their first touchdown to their tight end, getting on the board quickly there in Minnesota. He actually had three touchdown passes Saturday prior to going out. Now, here is the uniqueness of Illinois' defense here, and I'm going to show you what I mean. They run the bare 4-6, so I call it a double eagle. He's on the inside eye of the tackle, head up on the center, inside eye of tackle. Standout up linebackers are on the outside shoulders of the in-man line of scrimmage. You have your corner, you have a safety, you have a mic backer, another safety or outside backer, I should say, or nickelback, and a corner with a deep center field safety. So this is all pressure defense in that regard. Now, one thing you do, this is inside zone, we're just trying to get everything back to their inside and running kind of like a what they almost call a duo play, but it's very difficult to run against. You got to have in some respects, what you got to do is you have to run the power game, quarterback powers, tailback powers, and everything. So again, here's a pressure defense. You got man across the board with the deep free safety. Donovan and EJ have got to be on their A game Saturday. They've got to be in position to make plays in a one-on-one situation. Now, what this does in terms of protection-wise for these guys is you really want to go protection, but here they are, and they get away with it because they're only rushing four people. And there's the big, nice throw, one-on-one back shoulder throw for a big play. Now, here's what you really would do in some respects is you want to zone protect this, where guys are basically play action in their gap. They get good play action. They're going to run a crossing route here for their first touchdown. So they answered Illinois' score. So, again, here in the first half, again, Illinois, not overly dramatic, but again, they're going to target Williams, number one. That's the guy they want with the football in his hand as much as humanly possible on Saturday, and they do a good job of getting it to again. So here's one there. They go five wide. Here's number one right here. He's one-on-one with this linebacker. That's a mismatch. The quarterback recognizes it, and there he goes with the football on a second down play, getting the first down. So they like to put him in positions where they're going to get a mismatch with him or 13 in situations. So here, again, this is kind of a RPO type of play, but it's really interesting because he really in situations should have handed off. You got a high safety right there in the box and then your man down here, but he decides to pull the trigger. Good route by 13, good play action fake, gets a nice play down in the red zone. And here they are again, stealing King from route in the end zone. He's targeting one right there and he gets him. They have a miscommunication and blow their assignment in that regard. So you can see with them what they like to do. They like to pressure. They'll twist their front. This is a really good play. And I like this play. This is just an old speed action concept with man blocking. Essentially, you're going to block from this point back with your O lineman. You're going to option him, and this guy's got to make a block in the free safety's back there. The in on line has got to take the quarterback. He pitches it. You're going to get a nice 12-yard gain out of this with not great downfield blocking. Love that play. Indiana should implement it, and they have it in their offense. But I like it, especially in situations down. Okay. Here's a power pass, play action pass that he makes a good play on. I'm going to get to that last drive to really set up the situation as it pertained. Now, how they got here. Illinois had couldn't get to first down. That's number one. So they're on the field. This is the play that Altmyer gets hurt on a 3rd and 11. Minnesota just kind of spies him, and then the linebacker sees an avenue, and he hits him hard. Actually fumbles the football. They get it back and advance it. So now it's 4th down and 11. Advantage defense. John Paddock, the transfer from Ball State, comes into the game, and he's going to make one hell of a throw here on 4th and 11. And how this guy is this wide open, I don't know. Illinois actually only rushes 3. Same defensive front, and he hits number one right there in the seam. And now you can feel it all change in terms of momentum. Come back with another first down play. He kind of scrambles out, hits the guy in the target. That's 13. That's their second guy they like to get the ball to. Big first down again on this. Now you come back. You're 1st and 10. No timeouts. They have no timeouts left. Okay. First down, there's 57 seconds left. They're going to throw a route where he's just basically going to go right down the middle of the field. Minnesota's in too high. They're kind of playing a Tampa 2 concept. And this guy splits them, and they don't. The safety's just ignored him. Like the linebacker was supposed to carry him here. It looks like there's some confusion, but Paddock looks off the safety, does a great job of buying some time, hits Williams in stride for a touchdown, and that's the ball game. I mean, that's essentially the ball game. John Paddock becomes the hero for the Illini, and it's crazy to think that's how they won that ball game on Saturday against Illinois. Illinois won it, I should say, against Minnesota on a last second touchdown throw by John Paddock, who came in and played 3 plays and made the plays needed to win the ball game. Now that says something about the kid's preparedness to do that. And I don't doubt it one bit. I mean, he was an impressive kid at Ball State, my alma mater, of course, and coached there for a number of years, but to come in the situation he did, 4th and 11, and throw a strike about 15 yards down the field, man, oh man. And then 2 plays later, he's got him in the end zone. That's crazy. Well, the biggest thing is like I was telling you, I wanted to show some of what, they do and how they line up with some things. And here's one of them where they're all across the board here. And as I said, this is how that looks to an offense. So there's a lot of bodies up there, right now, you know, within, you're talking eight guys within 3 yards of the ball. So that makes it very difficult to run against, unless you run some power games and quarterback runs, which I think Sorsby's got to be one that's ready to do this on Saturday. Or if they have Dexter Williams ready to go with some type of package, that would even, you know, another thing that would be better. But if you take this guy and take him out here, this guy here is just going to run and go with him. So you're really not going to get it, you know, much out of it in that regard, just because if, like I said, if you take this guy and move him out, this guy goes with him because that's his responsibility. In this concept of things that what they do as a defense. So, it's a very interesting defense to employ, especially all the time. They've went to it against Kansas, had some success, although Kansas ended up beating them, but it can cause problems up front in terms of what you want to do in terms of running the football. And what I mean by that is it's hard to zone read all this with all this junk in here. You really have got to, you know, kind of block back, block down, block back, you know, make him take two. And this is just your standard power play running there, which I think is a really good play against that defense. But we'll see what they have in store on Saturday for them. I want to go back to our goals for this game and what I think it's going to take. Of course, Sorsby's got to continue to grow within himself and, you know, take it up a step again. But the Hoosiers need to rush for 125. They need to pass for 275 and I'd like to see him get it to that 28 point margin. That's 7 points more than Illinois has given up. And the 17 points holding them to is about 4 points less than they score. And then in the rush and pass game, you can see 110 yards to 250. So they're going to have their hands full. And then, of course, special teams, no crimes against the team. That's cats. You know, no turnovers, no botched, you know, punts or big returns. That's a necessary in this game. And if they can get something through special teams in a positive way, go for it. And then win the turnover margin again on Saturday against Illinois, a team that will put the ball on the ground or have been known to put the ball on the ground, whether it be throwing it interception wise or fumbles there. So they've been very susceptible through the year to cough the ball up on a pretty good standard day playing the football game on Saturday. Again, I think the biggest thing for the IU receivers, they're going to get tested one-on-one. This is like Carter, Lucas, Donovan, McCauley, and EJ Williams. All those guys have to be on point Saturday. They've got to get open against man-for-man coverage, and EJ and Donovan on the outside have got to go up and make plays on the outside. And then, of course, the offensive line will be tested Saturday against the Illini, so they're really going to have an improvement, too, because of what they're going to face and the twisting and the turning that that Illini defense likes to do. It's a very, very good scheme. If you've got the personnel, they believe they've got it, so that you've got to go in there and find ways to move the football against it on Saturday. And then defensively, what can you say? Causey's got to continue to play at the level he's playing. And then up front, they've got to dominate the line of scrimmage. And I do believe Indiana's defensive line is a little bit better than Illinois' offensive line. So that's one thing that to watch on Saturday is the line of scrimmages on both sides of the ball. If IU can really control the line of scrimmage on both sides, they'll have a great shot of winning the game on Saturday. Well, I thank you for joining me here this evening on Hoosier Football Tailgate. Remember, Bet Online for their sponsorship of the Hoosier Football Tailgate. Remember, your first deposit, if you use the promo code BLEAV, you'll get 50% more on that first deposit, as they were also will have all your information from statistics to parlay information to news, all of that on any of the sports games that are going on, be it basketball, football, NHL, hockey. They have it all. Bet Online is where the game starts. And again, thank you for sponsoring the Hoosier Football Tailgate. Remember, if you can get over to YouTube and subscribe, we greatly appreciate that, as well as Apple and Spotify. If you could go over and give us a like and a comment or slash rating, again, greatly appreciate that as well. Remember, kickoff is noon Saturday in Champaign, all on the Big Ten Network. I am the coach, Shannon Griffith. Thank you for watching the Hoosier Football Tailgate right here on the Believe Network. We'll see you on Monday with an Illini recap. Good night, everybody.